take a moment of silence opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by acknowledging any known sins necessary. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to provide for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word. We recognize that it is the opportunities for us to acquire the information that we need to have in order to understand your plan for our lives, as well as purpose and objective. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated will subsequently be made available for recall and application. We ask this thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we started our recent segment that's focusing on Satan's cosmic system. We see in Romans 12:2, the passage for today, that is a mandate for us to have our thinking transformed. It says, do not be conformed to this world, and preserves the Bible's vernacular for the cosmic system, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And of course, that has to do with renovation of your thinking. We did a series on this, I don't know, years ago, where we actually developed the concept of renovation in the form of catabolism and anabolism. And catabolism has to do with tearing something down, and anabolism has to do with building it up. So, the Word of God, under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is in our souls, and as a result of that, our thinking is renovated. It's like rebuilding a house from the inside out, tearing down the walls, and putting new walls in. And that's the process, I guess, again, the technical process called, refers to catabolism and anabolism. So that's what goes on here. What's interesting in that process is that the materials are the same. It's the way that materials are arrayed that changes. The big component that comes in from God's perspective is grace. Grace is an antithetical concept in the devil's world. In fact, he's at war with grace. Because grace is what beats him. That's the point I'm constantly harping on that concept. You know, it's about love, grace, mercy, forgiveness. And that defeats the devil. The devil's accusations are that people have failed, and as a result, they don't deserve anything. Of course, God says, yeah, that's right. But I sent my son to resolve that problem. And so God's trump card, if you will, in the angelic conflict is the power of the cross. And we noted last time that Paul spoke of that. You know, I will boast of nothing but the cross of Christ. So the purpose of renovating the thinking is to prove what the will of God is, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. And of course, the word perfect is our word teleios, that could also mean mature or complete. Perfection is the end game. Because ultimately, perfection is the product of the spiritual life. But, of course, we live in a sin-infused body where that won't occur. So perfection, in a technical sense, does not occur until we are in our resurrection body. I guess you could say in our interim body, too. Once the old sin nature is shucked, then those proclivities and tendencies that are inherent against God are eliminated, and so the compliance with the will of God is complete. So that's why we don't really reach that point in this life, although some people erroneously teach that concept. Sinless perfection isn't something that we can attain in the devil's world because of the status of the sin nature. Now, positionally, though, that is something we attain. Remember, God, the whole bucket is upside down with God. He provides us with the assets, and then says, go function on the basis of these assets under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And of course, one of those assets is the righteousness of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So he sets us up to maximize grace under his policy, and he actually enables us to function on the basis of integrity, love, instead of fear. That's the essence of that system. So we're presently engaged in a study of Satan's cosmic system. That's the system of thinking that's the basis of the thinking of the entire human race and their natural soulish state, apart from God in spiritual death. See, we noted last time and the time before about how the cosmic system was developed through the unbelieving individuals on the planet. Remember, everybody who's born is initially an unbeliever. Now, because of their status with lack of cognition prior to the point of accountability, that death, that positional death, wouldn't be executed on them if they were to die physically. That's why children, before the age of accountability, should they die physically, they are taken straight to heaven. Where do we know that from? We know that from the child that David had in that illicit relationship with Bathsheba. And he in the culture of Israel, they didn't name the child until the eighth day. And this child never got a name because he died before the eighth day. And that was one of the results of God's discipline on David for his murder of Uriah, his raping of Bathsheba, that whole travesty that he got involved with. So in his statement regarding that child was that he will not come to be with me, but I will go to be with him. And so that means that the child was in heaven, or the equivalent of, at that point it would have been the paradise section of Hades because of the lack of the transfer. Yeah, because remember no one actually entered. That's one of the areas that are confusing to some people. In the Old Testament, the destiny of the righteous was the paradise section of Hades. But there have now been, per Colossians, transferred into heaven through Jesus Christ's ascension. So today, if you die, when you die, you're face to face with the Lord instantaneously. So in 2 Corinthians 2, we have the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. So the missing component for the unbeliever is spiritual life. Of course, that's what when you're born again, that really means a resuscitation of the spiritual life. And because remember, the penalty of sin in the garden was death. And the word there is doubled. It's moved. Now, most translations translate it surely die. Because you can use that as an intensity concept when you've doubled the word in the Hebrew. But in that case, they're actually referring to a dying, you will die concept, which is necessary to understand the consequences of the fall. Because they continued to live for nearly 1,000 years. In the case of Adam, he lived 930. We don't know how long Isha, who became Eve, lived. But he lived for a very long time. And during the whole antediluvian period, people lived for nearly 1,000 years. No one lived 1,000 years, but people approached it. And which means that during that period, there was a people lived simultaneously. They overlapped by a lot of time. So the communication, God's communication to mankind was able to be done verbally. No need for written material because of the overlaps between the various generations. Today you don't have that. So what we have is the word in written form which transcends generations. We noted that his cosmic system is empowered by two energy systems, arrogance and hatred, that operate in synergy. So these two systems actually ping pong. Arrogance turns to hatred, which can becomes arrogance again, and the whole thing just becomes regenerative. So, and that's what you see if you leave people are left uncontrolled by any spiritual standard. And of course, that can be divine establishment. The place where people start is divine establishment, which is why we have the mandate of children obey your parents. That's where it all starts. So children who are oriented to the parents' authority, then if they take advantage of that, they're protected from some of the evils of the cosmic system. Now, and that provides freedom. That's why establishment, like in the United States, the nation's not a Christian nation. Although there are many Christians here, and it was actually established by Christians for the most part, it's a free nation. And that distinction has to be maintained because God does not force people to make a choice for Jesus Christ. That's tyranny. Satan would try to force you to make a choice for their ideas, which they do. That's what political correctness is. Or fascism, if you will, is a variant of that. So God, on the other hand, is a gentleman. His agenda is to have free will choice. And that's a critical component of the angelic conflict, where people are making non-coerced decision for God through Jesus Christ. And that's, so God wants freedom to exist. Now, the cosmic system doesn't, the cosmic system actually attacks freedom with the objective, so-called objective, it doesn't ever attain it, but with the so-called objective of equality. So you'll hear those words bandied about. If you ever notice the communist, socialist, Marxists, they're all after equality, not freedom. And the problem with equality is it attacks freedom. Freedom means there's inequality because people have different volitional choices to make. And they make different choices, and the consequences of those volitional choices result in different success rates. So, in a sense, the way to view it is that God rewards positive volition. Satan rewards negative volition. And he actually steals from positive volition to fund it. That's kind of how it works. So when you have socialism, remember, eventually, with socialism, you run out of other people's money. And I was reading an interesting article today about it. So eventually, you run out of animals in the zoo to eat, like Venezuela. So because nobody's doing anything anymore because they've made it not advantageous to do it. So eventually, you can do it for a while, but then you're it's over. And so Satan's system is running out of gas pretty fast. So it eventually crashes and burns. Whereas God's system works from the outset. It builds from nothing. The positive volition leads to blessing from God, which then advances creativity and productivity, which then spreads out to others, and the whole thing just keeps advancing. So that's God. It basically bootstraps itself up. That's why the free enterprise system is the basis of privacy and freedom, which are establishment. So Kazik wanted Satan's initial philosophy of arrogance and his rebellion against God in the prehistoric angelic conflict, and Cosmic 2 is Satan's philosophy of hatred, opposition, and you might say rebellion towards God and his policy of grace during human history. So he's taken the opposing view. He has refused to acknowledge his sin. We don't know what the terms of engagement were back in the time, but we understand God and his grace. So we understand somehow or another grace was involved, somehow, in some way. We don't know. Again, we weren't privy to that, and the Bible doesn't explain it. So you can conjecture, but it's not disclosed. There's, like I say, there's different viewpoints on the fall of the angels as to whether they all fell or just a third of them. But nonetheless, in some manner or fashion, they were responsible and they knew it. So negative, bad decisions limited their future options, which means they're presently, as it says in Matthew, consigned to the lake of fire. We noted that they're going to be consigned to the lake of fire. They're not there yet. We noted that the target of the Cosmic One is every individual person, and the target for Cosmic Two is the word of truth. In Cosmic One, we destroy ourselves, and in Cosmic Two, we become antagonistic towards the various facets of truth and hate anyone who applies it. So in essence, those involved in the cosmic system oppose, they're not just passively in opposition. They're actively in opposition to the Word of God. If they're left there, unchecked. Now again, there's restraints, like the Holy Spirit restrains, we'll note that, and divine establishment also restrains. So there is some restraint on them, provided the environment, of the people in authority in the environment apply the doctrine. You know, that's one of the big problems we've had, is that for years, you could say 40 years or so, at least, there's been little restraint in our country regarding certain categories of establishment when there should have been. And now we have someone who's actually doing that. So that's why there's pushback from the other side. They don't like it, because they haven't had anybody pushing back for a long time. And it's because of the various facets in our country, the various people have had different viewpoints, but they've agreed on certain things like internationalism. That's the one that's really coming to fore right now. Is the attack on nationalism is being revealed and demonstrated. But this has been going on for 40 years. It's a downward slide. In order for Satan to rule, he must first establish control. He does this by convincing people that demon doctrine is the truth and that God's word is a lie. And he does this by propagandizing them into believing that God's policies impede them. See, that was what he used in the garden. And he uses the same thing now. And you call that, a way to view it is as politics related to individual groups. It divides and conquers. So today, the viewpoint is that, and we have a party associated with this viewpoint. They've adopted this. Instead of having a standard of reference for everybody, as they used to not long ago, they now have created a system where they attempt to amalgamate multiple individual groups, and they fragment the group. So they address people by gender, race, sexual orientation, all that stuff. So, and they fragment it, and then they try to bring it all together under one umbrella. Okay, there's a word for it I can't remember at the moment, but that's what, so that's what Satan leads them to be. Whereas the other way of looking at it is that everybody operates by the same rules. There's no, in other words, there's not a different set of rules for one group compared to another because of their position, you know, as maybe people that weren't native to the United States. Whatever, take your pick. They have, they make different rules for people. God doesn't do that. Everything's the same. Everybody has the same. In fact, God's word tells us not to look at each other in that context. Remember, no Jew, no Greek, no bond, no free, no male, no female. That's spiritual. That's the spiritual life. And that's that means everybody is in union. Now, they may not yet be because they haven't believed, but potentially in union with Christ by faith in Christ Jesus. So that sets everybody up on an equal playing field. And that's where the equality comes from, ultimately. So that freedom to believe in Jesus Christ results in spiritual equality. And that's where there is equality. See, there's no equality in the devil's world, but there is equality in God's system. And that is the equality of each individual royal priest before God. See, that's where, you know, you have different roles within the local assembly, but the real power of the church is the priesthood, your invisible spiritual life, where you represent yourself and others to God. That's the power. And everybody is equally free to take advantage of that because that's a spiritual commodity. And there's no limits on God's grace for that if people have positive wisdom. So that's where there's complete equality. So what he did in Genesis 3, if you look at the way he attacked her, assaulted her. Now she was in the wrong place at the wrong time for the wrong reason. All right? So she was complicit in this. For some reason, she didn't like what was, well, I don't know, what, I don't know why, how, why she was a male content, but for some reason she was. So she's hanging out by a place, near a tree where she shouldn't be. And it's, and she gets approached by somebody, Satan, inhabiting the serpent, who leads her down a rabbit hole. It's a dead end road, man. It ain't going nowhere except death, which is what it did. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, God has God said, so remember, he's phrasing, he's using words to deceive. Has, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. So she, that half is correct. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, he said, you shall not eat from it, correct? Or touch it, or you will die. That touch it was false. So she had an improper understanding, an inaccurate understanding of the Word of God relating to that tree. They were not allowed to eat, but they were allowed to touch it. Now, should they have touched it? I would say it wouldn't be a smart idea, because you're going to be tempted like she was, potentially. Now, I don't think by herself she would have gone here. Well, gone there. She was led into the rebellion. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. So he contradicts God. Now she wants wisdom. So her desire is to have more ability to understand. And in a sense, she's going to get that, but it isn't helpful. Because she's going to understand good and evil now instead of divine good all the time. So that's not a good thing. Some change is not worth having. This is one of them. For God knows that in the day you eat from that, your eyes will be open. See, there's what this is the temptation that she's presented with. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. See, that was her desire for some reason was to know more. We don't know why. So, again, creatures have finite capacities, and so she just wanted to advance her abilities. And, but the problem is this is actually taking her in the opposite direction. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that she was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took and ate it and gave it to her husband. So, and that's the story of the fall, in essence. But she was led down the path by a liar. And she followed him. And that's what happens. So the allegation was that God was impeding your pursuit of wisdom, and that if you ate of this, you would have more. But that really wasn't the case. So she ended up, and of course, we understand that God turns the curse into a blessing, and that's what launches the entire human race here. Because up to this point, there were no children. And immediately thereafter here, she's kicked out of the garden and starts having babies, which is the curse associated with the fall for the woman. The man's job, curse was to work. See, up to this point, they were in a paradise, so they didn't have to work. So, you know, that's what has changed. And so those are the curses that go down through history. And of course, Satan messes that whole thing up, too. He causes people to not want to do what they're supposed to do or fulfill the roles that they're supposed to fulfill. And everything God establishes, Satan's at war with. And the more negative the country goes, the community goes, which we have, the more problems there are with the recognition of what God has done. See, a lot of these ideas were assumed to be true at the founding of our nation. But those assumptions aren't taken anymore. People don't assume that it's true. So the inversion of thought that is the basis of the fake news, that was the fake news, Satan's fake news to her. Because the fake news represents truth as a lie and the lie as the truth, and foments conflict between people based on some facet of their identity and special interests instead of creating unity on the basis of common goals. And there's our word, identity politics. You may have heard that bandied around. That's what one party has gone for exclusively, which is why they've thrown the middle class overboard. It didn't used to be that way. And that's why, basically, they're the party of criminals. Malcontents and criminals, and you name it. Whatever perverted viewpoint you have, we got a place for you. So that's where they're at. And, of course, that's not going to result in anything that's beneficial in the long run, because you can't fragment things and then get them back together. We have to look at what we have in common. Now, we all have, because the differences in our natural state, in our natural abilities, and in volition, there are differences, but we can all, for the most part, and up until recently, have had common goals. So the nation could come together in pursuit of a common goal and actually have some harmony. Not total harmony, that's not even possible in the devil's world, but some harmony, enough to be functional, but reaching a point of dysfunction almost. He starts by creating an environment where individuals create an arrogant, false self-image. So that's where he starts. She could become something that she was not by violating the word of God. That's her arrogant self-image. That is based on some facet of identity that is divorced from the reality of God. Now, God's word contradicted that statement. So there, she separated her thinking from the reality of God's word and went with the lie. So that was an arrogant, this is Cosmic One. So, divorce from the reality of God's word and God's plan of grace and truth. So, it all starts from a fool has said in his heart there is no God. This is where it really starts. And from that, the whole thing just goes downhill. He goes on to say in Psalms 14:1-3, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. See, the consequences of rejecting the word of God is the lack of constraint on the basis of truth. So people just do whatever they want to do. And there was a word that described, or words that described Israel throughout the periods of their life, apart from God, during the period of the judges, was every man did what was right in his own eyes. And they were up and down and up and down and up and down throughout the period of the judges. And God would send a judge along, someone like Gideon, or any numbers of the other guys, and they would coalesce a unity. They would throw off their enemies, and they would have an autonomous environment for a while. And then that guy would die. And there was nobody left to take his place. And it has the capacity to unite the people, pull them together. And so they went back into doing what was right in their own eyes. So that's kind of what's happening in our country. And so this fragmentation persists. And it's unfortunate, but it's because of this. There is no standard of reference for thinking, which is the Word of God. So, even in establishment sense, like I say, establishment is for unbelievers as well as believers. So a fool said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. And the Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand or seek after God. And they all have turned aside. They have become corrupt. And there is no one who does good, not even one. So that's the status of man in depravity. Minus the Word of God. So there's no capacity at all to orient properly to God. That's spiritual death. That's the status quo. So that's where the cosmic system operates. Remember, the cosmic system is the place where the unbelievers live. Now, believers live there too, because that's where they start. The gateway out of the cosmic system starts with faith in Christ. That's when the door is opened. And now you can exit if you choose. But not everybody does. So, and it's also, like I said last time or the time before, we have a comfort zone there, because that's where we operated for 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, I don't know how long it was until you believed in Jesus. You know, it could have been 40, 50 years that you were there and you have established residence. So all that, again, that's where the renovation of your thinking comes in. Your thinking has to be renovated back to the standards of reference from the Word of God. And you may well believe in Jesus Christ and you're saved positionally, but experientially you're no different than you were 5 seconds ago. See, experientially is the issue in that case. Now, positionally, you're saved, you're going to heaven. That's a product of God's Word and God's integrity. Irrevocable. But how much doctrine do you have in your soul to make good decisions from? Maybe hardly any, or in some cases, none. So he then parlays, this is Satan, he parlays the unrealistic, unmet, arrogant expectations created in Cosmic One into hatred, animosity, anger, rebellion of Cosmic Two. So what you end up with is people with unrealistic, unmet expectations become disillusioned, and then that devolves into jealousy, hatred, bitterness, you know, all that, the whole propagation of the arrogant skills. And that's what you end up with. And that resolve, that ends up with opposition, anger, you know, envy. That's a big one. If I can't have it, you can't either. We're going to burn this whole place down. So you see that attitude in a lot of people these days. This self-induced misery that accrues from the arrogant, unrealistic expectations that the arrogant, unrealistic self-image creates into antagonism and hatred for God's Word, God's plan, God's grace policy, and those who hold on to the truth in the unity of objective reality. So these people go to war with people who have positive volition through the Word, whatever category, establishment all the way through doctrine. So Paul speaks to this. He says, I have become your enemy by telling you the truth. We noted the passage where Jesus said that to the Jews. You know, you're rejecting me because I told you the truth. Same concept. So these Jews had believed in who he was. We mentioned that. But they were still hooked to the idea of their racial heritage being the basis of their salvation, which wasn't the case. They aren't saved because of their gene pool. They're saved because they believed in Jesus. That's it. And it's true of everybody all the time. Nothing has changed with that from the outset. So, again, you have to say Jesus in the context of the language that you know. Again, that changes through time. Right now we use the transliteration of the Greek, which is Jesus Christ. That's what that is. 2 Timothy 3, we have the contradictors, those who go out and oppose this. He says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. And of course, godly has to do with spiritual life. The word is eusebia, and it relates to the spiritual life that the believer lives after salvation. So these folks come under assault because they're bucking the trend. They're opposing the cosmic system. And they're shedding light. That's the real big problem. They're actually revealing the fallacies of the cosmic system by virtue of what they do and think. And so they become persona non grata. They become the enemy. Because they're told the truth. Just like with Jesus. So that's why we will be attacked, as he told his disciples. If they love me, they're going to love you. And they didn't love him. You go right on down the line. So they made war with him, and ultimately, of course, we understand the purpose of that whole thing. Ultimately, was that he would be judged as unrighteous by the entire human race via the Jewish and Roman judicial systems, the injustice department of those two individuals who were supposedly the greatest justice systems on the world at the time, which, and they were. So the Injustice Department at that point condemned him, both of them, one through apathy and one through outright hatred. And as a result, he was placed on the cross because God was putting him there, because that was his mission. So again, God turns the curse into a blessing as always. And that's why we're here. So it goes on to say, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So that's what happens. So you can, that's the process. So this doesn't get better, minus a change of thinking decision. And again, that's why you end up with ebbs and flows in the cycle. You get, have, if there is a change of thinking decision, then there's an advance. God's grace is deployed in a positive way, so blessing by association comes into view, and you have an ascendancy in history. And then when the whole thing, when things go to apathy, then it starts falling off again. And so the nations go through these ebbs and flows in relationship to the Word of God, and as a result, they have advances and declines regarding the spiritual status of the nation. The blackout of the soul that the Satan's cosmic system creates opposes all positive volition in his word at every decision point. So that's the thing we have to realize, that Satan opposes all positive volition at every point. So the natural person is automatically going to be disoriented to the truth. Okay? And the only thing that breaks through that is establishment and common grace of the Holy Spirit in illuminating the individual regarding the person of Jesus. So other than that, it's a complete blackout. James speaks of this. He says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. See, the two systems are antithetical. And there's no harmony here. John talks about it, we haven't got there yet, but we will, about light and darkness. And the world, and in fact, John 1, the gospel, not the book, the letter, so you got John and then you got 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. And John uses the concept of light and darkness throughout his communications, various books. And it starts right in the beginning, where Jesus, the light of the world, came and the world hated him because it illuminated the darkness. See, the thing is, light and darkness are mutually exclusive. And if you haven't noticed, when the sun shows up, it's light outside. And when it goes down, it's not. It's dark. Now, of course, that's a relative term because you don't have absolute darkness in the way that things work. But nonetheless, you know, comparatively, it's true. So if you shine a light in the middle of a closet that has no external sources of light, then you can see. And if you don't, you can't. So that's what's going on here. The Word of God comes into the view, and there's capacity to see what's going on. And people don't want to see that. Because as John says in John, the Gospel, they wanted to persist in their evil. So they didn't want the evil disclosed. And that's Satan. Satan wants to persist in the evil. He doesn't want his evil disclosed. Of course, God's in the business of disclosing the evil. And the purpose for that is so that people who have positive volition will pursue the light, which is the objective. And of course, with the light, you find grace. See, that's the ultimate power of God, is the grace of God through the cross. So the cosmic system opposes divine establishment truth that provides freedom necessary for the unbeliever to relate to God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's the baseline. That's why the attack on establishment is so insidious. And that's what we see in our country today. Attack on establishment. And because ultimately you'll end up, I mean, we have a free nation, or what has been a free nation. There's a lot of countries that aren't free. I mean, Iran, China, most other countries. The only countries that actually have a modicum of freedom are countries that are related to Western civilization and Christian nations, that Christian inhabited nations. Let's get that right. They aren't Christian nations. They tried to be, though. Think about it. The wars in England were fought over, some of them, very facets of Christianity, kind of. Catholicism versus Protestantism. Of course, that's wrong, because it's not the mission of the government to enforce a specific belief system. And they failed to do that. And that happened all across Europe. Which it really is one of the reasons why people came here, because they didn't want to deal with that. they didn't want the government defining what their belief system would be, which is why we have the Constitution and the Bill of Rights here. And this is unique. I mean, this has not ever happened before, this country. This is the environment where a country was established on the basis of freedom from the outset has never happened. Oh, one other time. Israel. That's the only other time. But they were a theocracy, so it's a little different. We're not. We're a free Gentile client nation. That the other time it had freedom going on was with Israel. And that was because of the setup that they were created under the Mosaic Law. So basically, they're the only. We are a perfect correspondence to Israel in the way God works, this nation. That's what's so unique about it. And that's why it's so terrible to see it being destroyed. The cosmic system opposes the Bible doctrine that believers need to become tactically victorious and complement our Lord's strategic victory in the angelic conflict. So again, Satan attacks every category of the word. Establishment, the gospel, and the information associated with the church. So a brief summary of the facets of the cosmic system would include the following. So we'll go back and review and then move on. Cosmic 1 emphasizes self rather than God. Cosmic 2 emphasizes human viewpoint of the soulish psychological living and human provision instead of the divine viewpoint of living the spiritual life under God's grace provision. That's our Jeremiah 17:5-8 passage. Cosmic 1 corresponds to Satan's attitude at the time of his prehistoric fall and represents Satan's philosophy in the prehistoric angelic conflict when of maximum arrogance he was self-absorbed. So you remember we noted how in, I believe it's Ezekiel, there's two passages that really address Satan's prehistoric fall, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel, I believe it's 28. So those two passages dovetail and explain his thinking in his rejection of God in heaven. That was ultimately the source of the fall of the angels. So he basically, what we see going on in our country today is basically a copy of what he did. So the people fell for it. He owned the media. They lied. And put it this way, so many fell, at least a third fell for it. We'll see how that actually worked out in the end. Some believe, again, like I said, that everybody fell for it. But whatever. The lies that were perpetrated on the angels are exactly what's happening now in our country. There's a complete correspondence to it. And so you see what's going on and the fake news that's involved and how that's all playing out. You can transport yourself right back to that original rebellion that was fomented. We don't know how long it might have taken. It could have taken millions of years for that to have happened. We don't know. But the thing about it, the angels are responsible, and we are too. We are responsible to know what's right and what's wrong. And if we've forgotten it because of apathy, we're still responsible. You see, that's the problem. And so because for years and years and years this hasn't been communicated within the educational systems, it actually has a chance to take over. And we'll see if it actually pulls it off at this juncture. At some point it's going to, though. You have to realize that we live in the devil's world, and eventually the devil's going to manage to get the whole thing coalesced under his authority in under the beast dictator. Now, we're not here when that occurs because we are the trigger that launches it, basically. But there's a point coming where the coalescence of negative volition will reach the point where locked-in negative volition exists in the entire human race. And at that juncture, then God says, okay, we're gone. He takes his people and takes them home. And he lets Satan have run the course for the next 7 years. So that's what goes on at the end. So we've been through these cycles over the period of history. We don't know when it's going to be. We just know it will happen. So Cosmic One targets the self-consciousness of the soul and the ego by emphasizing arrogance and preoccupation with obsession with self to the exclusion of God. See, something about you and your personal identity is more important than your relationship with God. And I talked about it. That's the identity politics part of it. When people identify with something they are in their natural state and make that more important than the unity that God has created in Christ, or potentially has created if you're a believer, he has created it, and if you're an unbeliever, you have the potential. And others, exclusion of God and others as a result, one becomes self-absorbed to the point where God and the objective reality are rejected, and the person is self-enslaved to the lust patterns of the old sin nature. So that takes you right back to the source issue. We sin because we're sinners. Remember, we're not sinners because we sin, although that's true. The initial sin issue is associated with the genetic gene pool that we received from Adam. So the proclivity is there, and it's predisposed to be in complete compliance with the cosmic system. Now, when you think about how it's amazing how God did what he did. He was willing to give Satan a shot. You know, the deal he had made with Satan, you know, that I'm going to create a species of creatures, and I'm going to predispose them to follow you, and I'm going to reach into that morass, and I'm going to have individuals with positive volition that will be led out of that morass into my life. So he sets the whole thing up so that Satan's winning the game from the get-go. And then he wins. God proceeds to win the game against all odds. You know, he's in the business of snatching defeat or victory from the jaws of defeat. That's what God does. So we wait till the absolute last moment. And of course, he can do that given omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence. You see, he has the capacity to do that. So Satan took the deal. And of course, we're the results of that. We're here because God and Satan made this deal, and we refer to that as the angelic conflict. And which has turned out to be how human history plays out. Cosmic 2 emphasizes animosity, hatred, antagonism, and rebellion against God and his plan. So it parlays the self-absorption and the unrealized expectations into hatred because of the fact that you're disillusioned with what is going to happen, which means, you know, the truth of the matter is you're never going to get what you want in this situation. I mean, the cosmic system never delivers. Ever. Because even when you have what you want, it's not content. It doesn't give you contentment. See, contentment comes from the Word of God. Everything you want comes, everything that everybody wants comes from the Word of God. It's not stuff. It's not having going places. It's not any of the details of life that provide contentment. But the big lie is that all those details of life do provide happiness. They don't. So people go all in for it, but then they never actually obtain what they were after. Just like the woman in the garden. She never got it, what she wanted. She got something she didn't want, but she didn't get what she wanted. Cosmic 2 rejects and opposes all categories of truth with the result that the individual hates everything that relates to God, including divine establishment, the gospel, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, Bible doctrine, and the written Word of God. So every aspect of the truth is opposed. Cosmic 2 stresses human viewpoint over divine viewpoint, representing Satan's attitude when he led the woman into self-deception regarding God's mandate in the garden that resulted in the historical fall of mankind, which we just noted. Cosmic 2 is also Satan's philosophy as ruler of the world after the fall of man. He is the number one enemy of God, who is obsessed with opposing and destroying every facet of God's plan. So he's in total opposition to the plan of God, which is to bring as many individuals as possible to salvation and to maximum blessing from him through his grace policy. The person in Cosmic 2 becomes inculcated with Satan's attitude during human history and is enslaved to Satan and at war with God. So that's the natural status of the natural man, at war with God. Now, people don't even recognize it. You know, they don't know that that's what they are. But they, in their arrogance, by definition, they're at war with God. Remember, God's system for mankind is for man to have humility. And humility is simply positive volition to legitimate authority, to grace, and to the Word of God. That's what humility is. So God is looking for people who have humility instead of arrogance. Arrogance means you think you are sufficient in your own strength. So arrogance and humility are, in essence, at war. And that's really the baseline. The thought style is one of arrogance versus one of humility. And that's why it starts in the home with positive volition to the authority of the parents. Because that's where the tendencies for positive volition are developed, or not, as the case may be. And, of course, that's what eventually... That's Satan's assault, we're going to note that here shortly, is on marriage and the family. And as a result of his assault on marriage and the family, freedom and nationalism are destroyed. Because when you destroy marriage and the family, you destroy ultimately destroy freedom, and then that destroys the nation. So he's got a plan. His plan is pretty smart. He's done it before. He does it every time. It works every time he's tried it. You know, the problem is he hasn't been able to coalesce a universal international system out of that yet. This hasn't happened. There's always been a cadre that God has led through and brought out the other side. We refer to that as the pivot. So as long as the pivot's here, there's going to be a place where truth reigns, at least in the thinking of people. So, and eventually, if it's in your thinking, it's going to be manifested experientially. Because what you think is going to ultimately be revealed through the word, as God works it all out. So the decisions you make are going to create the environment, is what it amounts to. The decision makes environment. That's not what the lefties tell you. And they tell you environment makes decision. It's not that way at all. That's why you can take positive listening to the word of God and put it anywhere on the earth, in any group of people. Doesn't matter about race or any of that stuff. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. If they conform to the protocol of God's word, they will be prospered. And eventually they'll become the envy of the world if indeed they persist like we have. A description of this production of Satan's cosmic system is found in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, where self-absorption is ultimately parlayed into something that resembles a religion. So here we have, realize this in this last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, so here's our arrogant skills, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good. So there you just transited from Cosmic 1 to Cosmic 2. Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness. This is a big statement here. Although they have denied its power, avoid such people as this. So this is the proper. This is the synergy of the Cosmic 1, Cosmic 2 system as it plays out in the thought style of individuals within it at any given facet. And you can wrap around. You go down here for a while, and then sometimes you wrap around because something comes around, and then it magnifies what you had already. So you're doubly locked in negative. Unless you come to a change of thinking decision here. So self-absorption is ultimately probably a religion or something that presents. So they form of godliness. Those are some pretty cool words. This is exactly what has happened to the leftist progressive internationalist utopian socialists in our country. Their religion is to save the planet by forcing everyone to comply with their utopian socialist Marxist law. So they have this system that they think that they're going to foist on people, and you're going to comply whether you like it or not. And if you don't like it, we're going to kill you. If you oppose us, you just wait. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. And they're working on it. So that's where it's going. It's interesting to note that the present middle imperative of the Greek word epotrepo in verse 5, translated avoid, commands believers to completely turn away from and reject these kinds of people, what these kinds of people have to say, and have nothing to do with them. So that's our approach. We're to disregard these people. I mean, blow them off. We got nothing to say to them, and nothing you're going to say is going to fix it. All right? They got to be left to boil in their own crap. And maybe, if we're lucky, they'll come to the end of themselves before they die. That's about the only thing you can hope. Otherwise, it's going to look like Venezuela. So Matthew 7:15, Jesus actually said this too. Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Okay, this is people who are violating the principle in communicating about who Jesus was. So remember, in the Jewish concept was that they were saved by virtue of their gene pool. And then they had to comply with the world law, and as it revealed the written law, and that was what they had to do to be good. And of course, it was just a bunch of hypocrisy, because nobody did it. And then we have in 2 Thessalonians 3, in the NET version, let's see here. But we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from any brother who lives an undisciplined life and not according to the tradition they have received from us. So here's a person who's violating the principles of the Word of God. For you know yourselves how you must imitate us, because we did not behave without discipline among you, and we did not eat anyone's food without paying. Instead, in toil and drudgery we worked, night and day, in order not to be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have the right, but to give ourselves as an example for you to imitate. Remember, Paul was a tent maker. And when he went to a... Until he eventually got a funding stream from Philippi, eventually. But until he had that, he actually was self-employed while he was simultaneously communicating the Word of God. And he made tents. So that's what he's talking about. So Thessalonians is one of the first books in the Bible, New Testament, one of the first books he wrote. It's very early, relative to his ministry. And so when he was dealing with these individuals, he did not take anything from them. In fact, Paul refused to take anything from anybody until he understood the fact that they understood grace. Paul's focus was on grace, and he refused to take money from a lot of people. Churches should do that. The only people churches should take money from are believers who understand grace. Because if you think you're doing righteousness by feeding the church, you haven't done anything. You're wrong. God provides for the church, and he'll raise up stones to do it if he needs to. All right? Until it's time for it to get gone. That's what Jesus said about himself. So the principle is that as long as someone's communicating the Word of God, their requirements and their sustenance will be provided through a channel that is grace-oriented. And although people can accept money from other places, it's actually bad because they're deluding the hypocrites who gave the money. They're allowing them to be deluded. They should not do that. So you should actually be very careful about who you accept money from. Sometimes you can't do that because you don't know, but I'm just saying that if you can know, you should. People have to know that the purpose for giving is not to maintain a relationship with God. No. That's not the motivation. That's proper, improper motivation. So we did not eat anyone's food without paying. Instead, in toil and drudgery we worked, night and day, in order not to be any of a burden for you. It was not because we do not have the right. See, he was a pastor, or actually an evangelist, an apostle, so he had the right. But to give ourselves as an example for you to imitate. So he was demonstrating God's integrity toward them as he refused to take sustenance from people who would be falsely motivated in helping him. And the Corinthians were really bad with this. He rails on them. For even when we were with you, we used to give this command, if anyone is not willing to work, neither should he eat. For we hear that some among you are living an undisciplined life, not doing their own work, but meddling in the work of others. Now such people we command and urge in Jesus Christ to work quietly and provide your own food to eat. So that's basically what Paul's position was, and of course that should be the position of the church. So what that means is what? Socialism is evil. What does socialism do? It takes from people who produce and gives to people who don't. It rewards the criminal. Well, God isn't for that. And neither is the Word of God. And so a lot of people who allege to be Christian have this viewpoint, but it's false. It's not a Christian viewpoint. If someone's destitute and needs to be fed, they're gonna die if you don't feed. Well, then you might want to help them out. But this is talking about people who have a consistent, persistent, built-in attitude of being lazy and not working. If people have time to foment chaos, they're not working hard enough. They need a job. They need something that locks them down for 12 hours a day because they got too much free time on their hands. In fact, I believe personally, this is no extra charge, that we are in the devil's world where bad crap happens because we need to have bad crap happen to keep us busy. We're always having to dig a hole and fill it back up again. Okay, we dug a hole ourselves, but then we got to get to fill it back up again. And I think that there's certain, because of the inherent characteristics of the old sin nature and its tendency to fly off the handle and do things that are not beneficial, that God actually uses the devil's world as a means of controlling evil. And the people, if they don't work, they don't eat, if it's the right way. And so they go to work, and it keeps them under control. That's a good thing. And when you get too much freedom, and too many people helping other people for no reason, for the wrong reasons, which is not wrong to do, kind of got a good balance there, at the same time, it frees them up to do things that aren't beneficial. And that's what Paul's talking about. If someone has got so little needs to, doesn't need to work because he's mooching off someone else, and he's harassing other people and being a busybody, then he needs to go to work to eat. That way he won't be being a busybody, because he don't have time. That's the point. So anyway, that's the thing. And that's, of course, socialism creates that space where people have all kinds of time to go cause problems, and because they're eating off somebody else. Divine establishment, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and God's word of truth protect believers from Satan's attack in the cosmic system. For the unbeliever, the only restraint against Satan's attack is divine establishment. That is initiated by the unbeliever's orientation to legitimate authority that starts in the home with obedience to parents. This is why there's such heavy cosmic assault on divine principles of marriage and family. If you destroy marriage and family, freedom and nationalism will eventually be destroyed. So that, I mentioned that earlier, and I believe that's a big component in the assault on freedom and why nationalism is also being destroyed at the same time, because they go together. So we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity provided for us to study your word, the blessing it is to understand your provision for us as we face the challenges that are presented to us in the devil's world, as well as the fact that we can have absolute confidence in you at all times because of your perfect love and grace that's deployed to us in mercy and forgiveness that we can always count on, no matter what, by simply orienting to the truth of your word. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.